Me falen, son pruebas, ¿no? Pero este que sí, es diferente. Probably great feat of the transfiguration. And we have to put it into context, this great feast, which our Lord appeared, shining his divinity forth on his in his garments, in his face, and he was shining forth the glory that he has as God. This St. Augustine says that our Lord, basically during his life on earth, he was hiding that divinity in such a way that they will see the hands of our Lord, his face, his eyes, his feet, as any other man. The check of his humanity was seen the whole time. No? And it has a great purpose, because our Lord wants us to be moved by faith. He's God. He's God. It's the most important teaching. And so, to put it into the context, this feast, our Lord appeared and transfigurated himself 6 days after an event that happened, which is very important. In that event, our Lord was speaking to the apostles about his passion and death. That he had to go to Jerusalem and to suffer, to be delivered to the hands of the Gentiles and to be put to death after being scourged at the pillar, scourging on the, and to be mocked. And that after 3 days he will resurrect. He told the apostles that event, that 6 days before the transfiguration. So what happened? Saint Peter intervened and he said, "Lord, that will not happen to you. God forbid that is going to happen to you, that you will die in such a way in the Holy Cross. No, we will not accept. We will not allow you to be taken, to be killed." And our Lord answered, "Be gone, Satan," he said, Saint Peter. "Be gone, Satan. Because you don't see the things of God, you feel only the things of men." This event is important because our Lord is telling Saint Peter that the cross, his passion and death, is necessary and it's part of the plan of divine providence. That to see things in a human level is an obstacle for the faith, for God's divine providence, who always moves in a divine way, no? Being God. It's a very important moment, because St. Gregory the Great, after Father Emmanuel and many others, has spoken that at the end of times, the Catholic Church will live his own passion along with our Lord Jesus Christ in a similar fashion. Yes, it's a topic spoken of by many, many saints. And this event of St. Peter is exactly what is happening with almost all Catholics. So they don't see anymore, or they don't want to see, or they're not interested in seeing the divinity in the Catholic Church. They only are seeing the human aspect. Therefore, they only are fixing their eyes in human people, in human hopes of persons. Because they don't see priests or sacraments, they don't see the face of our Lord in the official church, no? In the Catholic Church. They don't see. It's a fact, we don't see. We see divine, defective, and dangerous churchmen around, behaving as wolves, many of them, on others of Pharisees, and others are behave as traitors. So, an explanation is that we are undergoing the passion of the church. Of course, it's not going to die, the church, it's a promise of our Lord. But it's a fact, we are undergoing the passion of the church. We are obliged to see the divine aspect of the Church and to protect it and to profess it, even if we don't see it. In Church men, we don't see it. We see the emptiness of the noble sort of religion, and we see another gospel. We see elements who have been modified and twisted in the sacramental level and the level of devotions and doctrine. So this is the temptation to behave as Saint Peter. I have seen many people behaving like that. For example, they said, no, it's not possible that God will leave the Church in this state, so poor and so empty and without real many priests, really, and without sacraments available. We cannot believe that. We cannot. So, therefore, this no, it's no, because it cannot be possible according to my human understanding and feelings. Therefore, cannot be the way for salvation, or for the answer for the crisis of today. Cannot. Even you speak with the Vacanti, say, that man cannot be the Pope. Look, he said, just human judgment. He said, they cannot be. They said, tell me that. They cannot be. They move like St. Peter by what they say. The cross, the suffering, the persecution, the deformity of our Lord's wounds on his face, you know, the crown of thorns, the scarring of the pillar. David says, the prophet David said that there was not a sound space in his flesh without being mistreated, no? Suffering and the wounds everywhere as a worm. So he was disfigured. I was just scared to the apostles. They flee. Apostles flee. Disciples flee from the cross. And this is the temptation. We don't see our Lord. We go to the tabernacles of the noble sordo, because the noble sordo mass is human, is not from God. Of course, it's a huge doubtfulness about the real presence of our Lord. It's a huge, real doubt. So where is our Lord? Our Lord got success in his prophecies in Ecuador, in Quito. She said, they will look for our Lord's presence in the chapels and churches, and they will not find him. What she says, he will not be found. And our Lord said, when I will come back, do you think I will find faith upon earth? So our Lord, perhaps 6 days after that event of Saint Peter, he called him Satan. Because anyone who is moved by human reasoning, feelings, or motives, is an obstacle to any one of us to keep the way, the divine way of the way of the cross, which is the only way to heaven, to redemption, especially today. Persecution, solitude, being abandoned by the shepherds, being deceived, bad examples, corruption. We don't see a doctrine, sound doctrine. We don't see heroic or fighting, the fighting of the shepherds or even families fighting against the dangers at all levels. So our Lord has to transfigurate himself six days after that event, yes, to show his divinity, to encourage, to strengthen the faith, hope, and charity, because the Passion was approaching. So our Lord wanted to strengthen them, because the Holy Ghost was not yet given to them. They were weak. But still, from the three, only who were the transfiguration, only St. John. Only St. John was able to be faithful and during the Passion and Death of our Lord. You can see the explanation why, making a comparison between Good Friday and today, very similar. What is happening today at the Church and what is happening on Good Friday. What made Saint John to be faithful in spite of all the terrific happenings of Good Friday and the apostles fleeing? His own brother, Saint James and the Greater, his own brother who was at the Transfiguration fleeing also. He was fleeing, hidden. So what caused Saint John to be faithful at the foot of the cross was precisely Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She kept close to her, next to her. And this is the situation of today. That's why Our Lord in Fatima said, the last means I give to you to be saved. He didn't mention Mass, sacraments, confession, priest. He didn't mention, that Our Lady. The last means God is giving to the world is the Most Holy Rosary and devotion to my Immaculate Heart. And sorrow for my heart, because she's on the foot of the cross in this moment. If I will repeat always to you, no? The sermon, Saturday sermon, Our Lady, is it the context in which we have to have devotion to Mary at the foot of the cross? Because it's the passion of Our Lord and the Church together. In very similar circumstances. We are surrounded by lions and devils. We are surrounded by threats. We are abandoned. Humanly speaking, we are abandoned. It's hopeless and helpless. We are helpless and hopeless, humanly speaking. But it's the greatest, most glorious moments. What's the greatest sorrow of Our Lady? Her solitude. Because she was living the Mass, Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with St. John, with greater love and therefore greater sorrow. Each Mass was greater sorrow and greater love. She never stopped growing, Our Lady. She never put obstacles on her life to her. Therefore, she was growing in love every minute, and therefore growing in sorrow also. And she had to be on earth precisely to strengthen us in this last battle in solitude. Again, it was the apocalypse, vision of the apocalypse. When the dragon appears, God takes the women, the Church, Our Lady and her children, into the desert in solitude, wherein he will be taking care of Our Lady, of the lady, out of the reach of the dragon, is what the apocalypse says. It's what we are living today. We're in solitude, we're in desert. Humanly speaking, it's a desert, it's a persecution. We have nothing is left, humanly speaking. So it's to live by faith, hope and charity with Our Lady. It's why I repeat again and again the words of Abuelo Guadalupe. When Abuelo Guadalupe told Juan Diego, the Indian, come tomorrow for the proof that you are going to bring the bishop, a proof that I am the mother of God, because he has to build up this shrine for me, to me, in my honor. So Juan Diego, therefore the Indian, he went to back home that night. He finds his uncle dying, Bernardino. And he says, oh no, he's dying, he needs love rites. So he has to make a choice. Either go for the priest for the last rites or go to the appointment with Our Lady. Difficult choice, I will say, for many of us will be also, no? So the Indian Juan Diego made the wrong choice. He went for the priest for the last rites, missing the appointment of Our Lady. So Our Lady was not happy, of course. So Juan Diego went the other side of the mountain, Tepeyac Hill, to miss the appointment. Because the last two appointments were at the same place, at the right side of the Tepeyac Hill. So Juan Diego went the left side of the Tepeyac Hill to avoid Our Lady. To bring a priest for the last rites, sacraments, confession, viaticum, extrema unction, very important. But he was not obeying Our Lady. So when Our Lady therefore appears and encounters San Juan Diego in the other side of the Tepeyac Hill. Hey, wait a second, where are you going, Juan Diego? my dear mother, and she is the famous beautiful words. Where are you going? Why you are so anxious? Why so you are fearful and worried? I am not here. I, who are your mother? Are you not in the cross of my arms? Are you not under my mantle? Is there anything by chance you need beside myself? And she said, I know your uncle is dying. I know. Don't worry. She said, don't worry. I will take care of him. You just go and fulfill my wishes. Go to Tepeyac Hill, gather roses. Imagine, his uncle is dying and he's gathering roses because it's our lady's will. So somebody who is human, he will say it's crazy. He's gathering roses. I don't see our lady. The uncle is dying and he's gathering roses. He was supposed to go to see a priest. Anyone will be murmuring against the Indian. Anyone will be murmuring. He was really well of God. He left to Our Lady in Our Lady's hands his uncle who was dying. So the most important event to the dying of someone is the most important act of charity. You have to move. Anyone will suspend what they are doing to help someone who is dying. It's an obligation. But above all that is our Lord's will. Always. So what happened is exactly, so the Indian went to this with the roses. He brought the roses in the tilman, rope around the roses. So the tilman was something like this. So he brought like this, the roses, to the bishop. He didn't know what would happen. He was just obeying. And when they just touched with her hand the roses, nothing happened yet. So he was going to show the roses to the bishop. What's the order of Our Lady? In the meanwhile, his uncle was dying. You see, but he put in Our Lady's hands his uncle. So what happened is Our Lady went herself and appeared to Juan Bernardino, the uncle, and she herself touched and healed Juan Bernardino. And she revealed to her name. So the rest of the story, you know the rest of the story. But it's just to portray that well, at the foot of the cross, we need Our Lady is enough. We don't need more. It's an act of faith, hope, and charity. It's what Our Lady of Fatima says. This is devotion to Mary. To focus on her sorrows, especially. To repair her immaculate heart means, the message of Fatima is to focus on her sorrows and to be at her side, consoling her, accompanying her. While we are crucified as part of the church, as the mystical body of Christ, along with Christ for the salvation of others. So it's a crucifixion we are undergoing. A crucifixion of lack of sacraments, lack of priests, lack of friends, lack of consolations, of human expectations. I told you, even Catholics, we know that the jobs we can take in the world have been reduced. We cannot take many jobs nowadays because they're immoral or they're participating in immoral things that we cannot take as Catholics. We cannot participate, we cannot share, we cannot work on those things, no? Even in the work, in schools, we are so limited. It's good because we are crucified, but it's the major test in our life. We have to be content to be at the foot of the cross, surrounded by lions, by devils, no companions, no friends, but the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is precisely the test. And we know by faith our Lord transfigurated, He's God, He resurrected. It's enough. It's enough. Our Lady is our mother. She has all the grace on her hands. It's enough to know that. Enough. Keep going. Surrender to God's will. Surrender to allow to be crucified. Because it's the best we can do in order for our to see one day our families, our friends, our country, transfigurated, being converted, and enjoying heaven one day. So we have to undergo crucifixion for our families in order to see the transformation of our souls into God's grace, God's happiness. It's a beautiful battle. It's the best could happen to us. St. John has the privilege to be at the foot of the cross, faithful. He was the eagle. He received all the graces of contemplation and the apocalypse and to be martyred without dying. He was immersed into boiling oil, you know. He's considered a martyr even if he didn't die. So he was the eagle, the great, great St. John the Evangelist, taking care of Our Lady for 25 years. What a privilege. This is our privilege. So we are St. John the Baptist, sorry, St. John the Evangelist. It's no coincidence that the priesthood of our Archbishop Lefebvre comes from St. John the Evangelist. It's no coincidence. It's our vocation, it's our calling to be at the foot of the cross, there, no moving, crucified with our Lord. It's a glorious. Of course, the cross means that we are sacrificing, we must keep sacrificing many things. Many things. But it's a glorious battle. And we know it's few more years. Our Lord promised that He will shorten this tribulation for the sake of the elect. Soon, very sooner than later, we will see the triumph. So just persevere, patience. keep before your eyes that we are defending the divinity of our Lord, the divinity of the doctrine of our Lord. And you notice the other people who have not faithful to the fight, it's because they are moving by human considerations, human reasonings, human fears. Like the Indian Panteo, it's the same. No. So we are just have to encourage each other and to remind each other of the battle, no? And persevere in the battle. We ask this prayer today to St. Joseph, which is on the altar, and his second class relic of St. Joseph. Real, this is the real one. And so we ask St. Joseph to strengthen our faith as he has. On the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.